Our dear Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for bringing us here. You said we should have delight in your word, so we come to delight in your word again. We come to learn so we can live it. We pray that your spirit will breathe upon your word tonight and help our heart to understand in Jesus' name. We pray for ourselves and those who are coming, those who are joining us online. We ask that all of us will come to see tonight this truth and walk in the light of it in Jesus' name. We pray for our country, we pray for our state, our city, to have peace so we can live and lead a peaceable life in all quietness and godliness in Jesus' name. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening, everybody. I have a very interesting topic tonight to do, and God helping us, we're going to dig into it. What we are teaching tonight will help us so tremendously. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. We are talking about Jesus in action, at work. So let's do some discussion here tonight. And this will really help you, because if you listen to this, you will say, I understand. Because what we are going to talk about tonight is the pain part of our life. And where we have pain, where we have struggles. So let's go to chapter 4, the book of Matthew. If you have been coming, you've been talking about Jesus in action. What did he start doing? We said the first thing Jesus did was to get baptized. He went to Jordan River. Are we here? I said, are we here? He went to Jordan River. Let's go to Matthew 3:13 first. That will help us. Matthew 3, then Jesus, this is the first action of Jesus according to the book of Matthew. Jesus in action. And then, of course, he was born. He was carried to Egypt. He was brought back. That's somebody doing something on him. And they raised him up. But now, Jesus, what did he do himself? For instance, can we go to Acts chapter 1, verse 1? Maybe this will help us. This is what Luke said about Jesus. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to what? Both to what? To do. So Jesus did certain things. He did certain things, I want you to see. And then he taught. You know, so if you're not careful, you only listen to what Jesus had to say. But parents know that, anybody knows that, children learn more by looking at what you do than what you just teach. All right, so we're looking at Jesus, what he did. Jesus in action, at work. Go back to Matthew 3:13. All right. Then Jesus came. This is the first action of Jesus. He came from Galilee to John at the Jordan, be baptized by him. So Jesus' first public action was to be baptized. Interesting. And then John said, oh no, you should be the one baptizing me. Jesus said, let it be done. It's fitting now for this moment. So he got baptized. Let's look at what happened next. Okay. And then he allowed him. Next verse. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up where? Out of the water. And behold, the heavens were what? Open to him. And he saw what? The Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him. I'm trying to get my subject to be open so that we can. Tonight, you will never regret coming tonight. Somebody say amen to that. Things will be clarified for you tonight that really, really help you in years to come. And God has helped me to put it together in such a nice way that you'll be able to see from there. Now, Jesus baptized, came out of water, heaven opened, Spirit of God came upon him. And the next verse, and a voice came from heaven and saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. So we saw Jesus being affirmed as the Son of God, Jesus having Spirit of God upon him. And then all this happened because he came to be baptized. If you are here all along, I said our first Christian experience is to believe and be baptized. That's the first Christian experience. As a Christian, you got saved, and Jesus said, he that believes, baptized. And then after that, you receive the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus. Now, Let's go further. After Jesus got baptized, received the Holy Spirit, and then the Father spoke to him, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Let's go. I talked about this last week. Then Jesus was led up by who? By that same Spirit into the wilderness to be what? To be what? Let's look at that verse in Amplified Bible. Then we look at Message Bible too. Amplified Bible. Okay, say the same thing. Let's look at what you say. Give us Amplified Classic. Oh yeah, we'll come back to this one later. Give us Amplified. Yeah, take a look. Everybody, are we here? Are we here? Are we here? Then Jesus was led, guided by who? Not by the devil. By who? I'm asking, by who? By the Holy Spirit. Where? Not into a garden, but into the wilderness desert to be what? Tempted and in brackets. Read those words with me. Tested and tried. So we can say Jesus faced temptations, tests, and trials. You agree with me? Okay, so it was to be tested and tried and tempted by the devil. Let's hear what Message Bible. Next, Jesus was taken into the wild by the Spirit for what? The devil was ready to give it. What is the it there? To test. Now, can I ask you a question? I said, thank God you came tonight. Why should God subject his son to tests and temptation and trials? Let me ask better. Why does God allow troubles and tests and temptations in your life? Since, how many of you are God's children here? Thank you. So, tonight, we are going to dig. Can you give me my topic? Test, temptations, and trials. And they are going to give me a picture of this. We are going to work with it, and then it will help all of us. So, temptations and trials. Why did God allow Jesus, Matthew 4, verse 1 again, to be tempted, to be tested, and to be tried? So, temptations and trials. Please, are we here? Pastor, you should have picked one brilliant topic to teach on your birthday. There's no better brilliant subject to this. Hallelujah. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. So, calculatedly, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and in fact, Mark said he was driven. Let's go and see the book of Mark. Is it verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, or verse 6, or verse 7? We see it in there. Let's take a look. All right. Mark chapter 1, verse 5, 6, 7, 8, either of those verses. Okay. Then, next verse. Okay. And immediately, okay, next verse. Take a look. Next verse. Everybody, read this verse with me. Immediately, the Spirit, what did he do? Drove him. What's the meaning of the word drive? You know, drive, if I drive you out, that means I ask you, enter the car, and I take you out. So, Jesus entered the car of the Spirit, and the Spirit took him to the wilderness. Look at next verse. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts and the angels, minister to him. One more time, I'm asking the question. Why God, in his gracious kindness, in his mercifulness and loving, tender mercies, drive his son by spirit into the wilderness to be tempted and face things? Why should God do that? Maybe we should ask a larger question. Why should us go through things on the earth? Why should we suffer unnecessary trials, delays, struggles? Why is life sometimes difficult here? And, you know, my problem is not about why is life, but what is God doing about it? So we are discussing tonight temptation of Jesus and our own temptations. Let me submit to you that God allowed Jesus to be tempted himself. It's not the tempter. Let's not confuse it. Did you hear what I just said? Are we here? God and the Holy Spirit, they were not the tempter, but they directed Jesus to be tempted. So, Pastor, are you saying God is not behind the temptation? That's right. God's not the tempter. But why is he putting us through it? Maybe, let me use an example for you. Maybe it will help you. Have you ever heard someone talking about waste to wealth before? Waste to wealth. Anybody here? Turning waste into wealth. Anybody ever before? It's a kind of technology, see, turning waste to wealth. But please listen carefully. That person does not go and create waste to make it wealth. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? His desire is to make wealth. But he has to face the reality that he has to take this waste from human beings. For instance, food left over that you don't finish eating. But I don't go and waste my food so I can produce wealth from that. So what does he do is this. He faces reality of waste around us, and in his magnificent knowledge, he now uses technology to turn this waste to wealth. It's not behind the waste. Are you hearing me? It's not wasting. It's not the one wasting things. But waste is a given. Waste is a reality. Now, people say, why should God allow us to be tempted? Why do we go through tests and trials? We read this. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 again. And let's go back to it in chapter 4, verse 1, Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. I want you to just take a look at it. Then Jesus was led, guided by the Holy Spirit into where? Into the wilderness, desert, to be tempted, tested, and tried. Didn't he know his son? Wasn't Jesus perfect? Anybody here? Was Jesus perfect? Was he perfect? Okay. So why should we have to go through all this? Now, this subject, please listen to this. People don't handle it well. They don't handle it well. So it leaves one thing or the other in our heart. Like I'm talking about waste to wealth. Somebody said, okay, is God behind test? No. Is God using it? Yes. So the devil is God's servant? No. For instance, in heaven, there's no test, there's no test, there's no trial, there's no temptation. It's a reality here on earth that we face. So God, in his wisdom, must not just look at us and say, that's your problem. God, in his infinite wisdom, must use this for his own glory. What I mean by that is that when somebody is a transformer of waste to wealth, he's not the one creating the waste, but he can take that and work with it and give us something fantastic. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Okay, so tonight, we are going to study this. Like, you see, people just see one side, one side, one side. So tonight, I'm going to use what I call diamond. See, can you give me that picture of diamond I gave you? See this picture of diamond? There's something about this diamond. It has many faces or facets. Are we here, everybody? Are we here, everybody? Now, if you look at that picture of diamond, you can't just take only one, this side alone, or this side alone, or this side alone. They are all different facets that give us diamond. So tonight, if you are going to study the issue of temptations, trials, and tests, we have to see the many sides of it so that we can. I'm going to go to the Bible and be open to you. And God helping us tonight, after we are through, you're going to be helped in Jesus' name. Let's go. First of all, let's start with this background. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verse 17. Let's start with this perspective. For our light affliction, so it's our, hello? It's affliction, means pressure, trials, tests, and temptations. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. So it's describing this, our troubles we are facing, our tests, trials, and temptations. He used two words like adjective to describe them. Number one, he said it's light. It's not heavyweight. Are you listening? Are you listening? It's light. Second, it's momentary. So I wish we can, one of these days I'll get some of these things that I can just use to draw on the thing and to show up. So we can underline the word light or not heavy and the word moment. So as per intensity, our temptations that we go through and trials, to us we think it's very heavy, but the Bible says they are light. Second, it says they are also momentary. As per time, they are short. As per intensity, they are light. Are we here, everybody? And then he says something that's very interesting. That light, momentary, trouble, test, trials is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight. See, this one is light. This one is weighty. And it's weighty eternally. Just like turning waste to wealth. The waste is useless, but the wealth is fantastic. Does that make some sense? Okay, so we are looking at this. Now, this can only be done well with a certain mindset. Are we here, everybody? If you look at your life, some of us who have lived older, looking back now, some things you went through that was almost like so thick, it's like a mere drama or kind of nightmare that you woke up. I mean, something that you thought, wow, I mean, this is what will happen, like primary school exam. Hello? You know, or Waek, it's the end of life. And here you are today, you graduate. So we have that. And then he said, but you see, that, let me explain. See, that, back to Waek again. That Waek that was looking heavy then is no longer heavy now compared to university. But it's what brings us to university. You understand that? But do we know that the weight of university is more than Waek weight? Does that make some sense? Okay, all right. Now, we must do something if this is going to happen to us. If it's going to, I like this one. Look up here. I like this one. It's working for us. So, knowing fully well there is a reality of waste here, as a reality of trials and tests and temptations, I want to see how it can work for me. It's already here. Are you hearing me, somebody? It's already here. We'll see that in a minute. Now, how can it work for me? Look at next verse. While we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but things which are not seen. So if you are going to achieve anything with temptation and trial, number one, you have to see that it is light and it's for a moment. Look at Jesus' 40 days of temptation in the light of his whole life and the light of eternity. It's like, it's nothing. 40 days, right? Right? But that 40 days consequences are still reverberating to today. His choices in that 40 days that look so light and so ineffective and so momentary. Am I making some sense? And the reason why we can do that well is when we are not looking at what we see. See, when we are in the midst of trials, temptation, we are coming to that. Wonderful. It's momentary. And it's light. Hallelujah. So we're going to tonight spend time on temptations. Why was Jesus tempted? Wasn't he God? Let's go back to Matthew 4 verse 1. Matthew 4 verse 1. Give us a Bible Amplified Classic again. Then Jesus was led. After hearing the Father's voice saying, my beloved son. Isn't that, he was not sinning. The people, when they enter trial, they will say, Kini Musilano. Kini Musibad. This happened to me. Then Jesus was led, guided by the Holy Spirit, to be tempted, tested, and tried. Now let me tell you why Jesus was tested and tried. Why? Listen. Jesus was tempted, tested, and tried because it's the lot of all men to go through temptation. Jesus was tested, tempted and tried, because it is the lot of all men to go through temptations. Let's prove that. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Take a look. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. That's, Yoruba says, Olori Alufa. Remember that? Nobody remember Yoruba. Seeing that we have a great, please listen to this. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through where? Who has passed through where? I'm asking the question. Who has passed through where? Can I ask a question? Are you living in heaven? So Jesus passed through the heavens, but you know, that doesn't qualify him for here. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Now, for him to pass through the heavens, where did he start from? Next verse. Take a look. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with what? Okay, see, he has passed through the heavens. But before he passed through, he went through something here. Are you listening, somebody here? He said, he cannot be a sympathizing high priest with our weaknesses, but was in all points. See that word? It was what? In all points. What? Tempted as we are, yet without what? Please, are we here? We are talking about temptations and trials, and looking at Jesus' life. He was tempted, and the Father God passed him through tests, passed him through wilderness, and he faced temptations and trials. So, look at this. Jesus was in all points. How many points? All points. Tempted as we are. Now, yet without sin. Number one, don't confuse temptation with sin. Just because I'm tempted to steal doesn't make me a thief. Just because I'm tempted to do wrong doesn't make me wrong. Why? You see, it's quite easier to confuse temptation with... So for sometimes, you just feel like taking a knife and knife somebody. You feel like that's not knifing somebody. You have not knifed somebody yet. So some of us, this is where we get into struggle. How can I have that kind of thought? How can I have such a feeling? No, the thoughts and the feelings are human lots, but the actions have to do with sin. When we do something wrong there, am I making some sense? Now, if you are given some money in your office, 5 million, and you feel like taking it, it's normal. Pastor, it can't be normal. It's normal. Some of us are having that kind of desire for money more than something else. And then what do you do? I'm not taking this money. That's, you're not sinning. Jesus was tempted. That means Jesus was set up in his desire, and he felt like, hello? Pastor, that cannot happen. But God says so. He was tested. Are we here, everybody? So, it was in all point, tempted as we are, yet without what? Now, why did God do that to Jesus? So that he will be a sympathizing high priest. He will understand what we are going through. You see, if you have never gone through Wahek 3 or 4 times, you won't know what it means to feel Wahek. Are you hearing me? You see, that's one problem we face in life. We have one problem. All of us have had that problem. We have this blind side of us. If you ever grow up in a house where everything is available, you can't understand poverty. It will take grace of God to help you see that people go to bed without food, and life is difficult for them, and they can lie over food and kill over food. If you have never lived in opulence and wealth and luxury, you can't understand why somebody will fly first class. you can't grab it. Why should you close? You know? So these are our struggles and understanding that we have to understand here. So Jesus had to become a sympathizing high priest to look at us and say, I understand. And at the same time, it's with the Father. And you see, Jesus' temptations, he had to go through that to give us boldness. Look at next verse. So therefore, Let us come, therefore, boldly to the throne of grace. Now, when I go to God for help and assistance in my struggle here, I know somebody who is understanding in the presence of God. His name is Jesus. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Hallelujah. Now, the Father had never become a human being. He's on the throne. He made us in his likeness. We are human, but he's not. But Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man. And so when he came here, the Father didn't spare him. He let him go through trials and temptations. Praise God, somebody. Are we here? I said, are we here tonight? And Jesus went through temptations. Let's go back to that place. Let's go back to Matthew 4, NKJV, verse 1. I'd like you to do something with me, everybody. Listen to this. Please be here with me. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit, not by the devil. Next verse. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. That is a lower word. It's not hungry. He was famishing. He was really famishing. He was really hungry. Then what happened next? Take a look. I want to show you something. Now, when the tempter, not God, so there is a tester here, there is a tempter here, he came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Please, this is what's happening in our world today. You can put it like this. If you are the Son of God, show it up in your economy. Because what matters most on this side of the world is economy. Every government has two types of strong ministers, economy and defense. If you don't get them, you're not the country. What's the reply of Jesus? Take a look. But he answered and said, what did he say? Do you know that he never answered as the Son of God? Jesus didn't say, you know, I'm the Son of God. He said, it's written, man. So Jesus put himself in the class of man. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'm trying to show you that Jesus was tempted. Somebody said, he was not tempted. He was just the devil just trying to. No. Temptation is not that you are just offer something. That means there's a draw, a kind of a enticement. Am I making some sense? Let's look at next one, next verse. And the devil took him up into the holy. You know, this makes me to shiver. Can you look up, everybody? The devil took him up. Who took him? The devil. Like I take this Bible, the devil took Jesus and Jesus followed. You know, many of us, we do things. You know, your mind will go to that. And set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, what did he say? Next verse. And said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, shall give his angel charge over you, and their hands shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. What happened next? Jesus said something. It's written again, shall not tempt the Lord your God. And the devil brought out his final joker. The devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. White House, Buckingham Palace, showed him all the Tsars and Russian Empire and everything, Ottoman Empire, Songhai Empire, Mali Empire. Showed them all those things and their glory. I said to him, all these things I'll give you if you fall down and worship me. Don't have to struggle. Just go through this, bow down once, and I'll give it to you. Now, we don't understand that temptation because we don't know what it is. You see, you don't understand if you have lived in opulence all your life and you are struggling and somebody offer you a ticket first class to London. You won't like to change it to economy because you have had opulence all your life. Jesus was in glory all his life before he came here. So he never had deprivation. But let's leave Jesus. I just want to show you the temptation of Jesus. So the first one is that Jesus was tempted. The second one was the fact that he was tempted because of us, so that we will know that as a human, what he overcame, we can also surmount. He lived as a human being. Praise God. And please listen to this. He used the word of God to overcome. But let's talk about, I want to give you the picture of temptations, test, and trial. Now, let me drop this bombshell first. Are you listening, everybody? Let's talk about this first. What kind of wisdom of God? Please listen. What kind of wisdom of God will inculcate and embrace and invite temptation into his schedule for our lives? Why should God, in his infinite wisdom, get up and work in our lives, put into it temptations and trials and tests? Why couldn't just we scale through life like that? Now let me say this. Listen to this. All of us know that when we go to school, we go to school normally, but there's come a time of transition to another class, another course. And what precedes that is called examination. Am I right? Am I correct? There is a test. There's an examination that you have to face. Not because they hate you, but they have to test what you know and what you could perform and do. And if you do that gloriously, it's tough. Sometimes it's tougher the higher you go. And that is for transition. So can you help me type it on the screen? The reason why God allows tests and trials and temptations is because of transition. Usually, God allows us to go through tests, trials, and temptations as a place of changing the gear, praise God. To go to, if you notice, usually when you have tests, something else happens after that. God is after something. Okay, can you help us make it smaller so that it can fit in the screen? You know, I even like the way it looks. Transition, it looks wicked. You see that transition? It looks wicked. Transition is difficult. You have to change a class. You have to go to university. Then you have to do WAEC. And the whole of the 6 years of DSS is toward that. So transition is the reason why God allows us to go through. I don't know about you, and if you don't have this in mind, you'll be so sad in life. Please listen to this. Every time tests and trials show up in your life and you are tempted, there is either a promotion ahead of you. There's something that needs to change over. Now, that will help you so much. You know that every time they say there's exam, end of a course, you know there's going to be an end of that course and something else will open up if you go higher. Am I correct, somebody here? I wish I can open your brain and drop this inside. We're going to see that. We read some passages in the Bible. We're looking at different sides of this. The first thing I want to see that is transition period. Anytime, look at Joseph's life. They began to push him and sell him off. That's time of test and trials. Am I right? But that selling took him to Egypt. Am I right? And then when he got to the house of Potiphar, he was doing his best. And then another, here came temptation again. Am I correct? From this woman. And he seemed to pass the thing and went to prison the next class. And while he was in prison, two men one day woke up and said, "We have dreams." Pastor, how can dreams be a temptation? What brought Joseph there? What complicated his life? Who can tell me? What complicated Joseph's life? Dreams. So when they said dream, there's going to be a psychological reaction. That's what we call it today. But I call it human reaction. When you say dream, what if you say, please, bring up more? But see, he began to engage the dream. And after telling the dream that he couldn't tell for himself, and the man got promoted, he was still left in prison. Transition. And then he moved over. Oh, let's not go too far. Look at Jesus himself. The moment he came out, let's go back to Matthew. Let's go to Luke 4, verse 13. When Jesus was tempted. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation with Jesus, he departed from him until what? See that word, opportune time. That means when another thing will come for Christ to be promoted. Woo! See, I am not saying that God is the one who inflicts problems on us. But I'm saying that on those stop gaps, when God allowed them, is to actually shift us and take us to another level. Am I making some sense? Pastor, you're not making sense. I know that. Neither. But Aliba is laughing. He said to exam heavily. He said to exam heavily. And those exams are terrible, sometimes terrifying. And you'll be looking, what's the result? You know, you're either going to get sad or you're going to get happy. And when you get sad, they've done it again. And when you get happy, whoa, I escape for the next level again, part two or part one. And the higher you go, the more sometimes these things get. Am I making some sense tonight? So I want you to start replacing in your mind. When things go hurry, when things go bad, when things you are struggling with, God is saying, wow, it's time to transit. You need to change your thinking, change your life, change your finances, change your home, change your future, change whatever. We need to move you to the next level. Praise God, somebody here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, something happened recently that I was involved with, and I was thinking, not again. And the Lord said to me, remember last time something like this happened? You are really, what came out of it was really better than what you were thinking before. I said, I hope so. You know, because you see, knowledge, when it meets action, it can be really demoralizing. One of my friends, you know, in Nigeria, we escape a lot of things. Abroad, you go through a lot of exams. Even doctors abroad, if you cross from one state to another state, you do exam. After 10 years of practice, you do another, for you, comprehensive exam. One of my friend's wives, you know, he said, I am tired. I'm going to 60 now. After that one, I'll do another exam. So, but that's what it is. Now, see, he departed. Now, look at next verse. I love this. Then Jesus returned. See, from that temptation, from that test and trial, he returned what? In the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out through all. Now, anybody who saw Jesus doing that will think that Jesus was just powerful, but it was coming from the place of exam. Part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, part 5, part 6, part 7, whatever part is going through. Can I show you? This is not only once that happened to Jesus. For Jesus to go to the next level, let me surprise you. How many of you know Jesus multiplying bread? Do you know that multiplying bread came out of a very sorrowful time in Jesus' life? Pastor, what did you say? He just lost John the Baptist, his cousin. They just beheaded him. Abel, are you listening? The only closest person who knew Jesus on earth was John. They were on the same page. Everybody else was on that page. And then John was taken and they beheaded him. Wait. You know you are going to die agonizing death yourself. You have been put on the butcher plate. You're going to be crucified and butchered. And then John was beheaded. That's a painful reminder of what will happen to you. And that's his cousin and the person who affirmed him. Let me show you in the Bible, Matthew 14. Hallelujah. Are we there? Okay, let me open it so we can read it. Matthew 14. Glory to Jesus. Look at verse 12. Then his disciples, John's disciples, came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus when they killed John the Baptist. Next verse. When Jesus had that information, that news that it was serious test and trial, he departed from there. He just left what he's doing. By boat to what? Just want to get alone. Jesus felt that kind of thing too. Felt it. Just want to be alone. I mean, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to come by me. Just me alone. So he went by himself and disappeared. Just to grieve. That kind of time of bad moment in his life. But when the multitude heard it, they didn't care about Jesus. Are you hearing me? Jesus just wanted help. They followed him on foot from the cities. Here was a man going to grieve, going to cry. I don't know, whatever Jesus did. He just there by himself, and he was, God, you know. And they were just coming. They don't care. Look at next verse. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and something shifted in him. That grief has increased his comfort level. When I mean comfort, I mean to strengthen others. And he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. You know what happened next? Give us next verse. When it was evening, disciples came to him saying, deserted place, the hour is already late. Send the multitude away, and they're going to the villages and buy themselves food. Next verse. We just said, it's not need to go away. Give them something to eat. For the first time, Jesus multiplied bread. He provided abundant provision. He did it twice before he died. Are we here? So, write it down. Temptation time is transition time. Temptation time, when you are going through things that you don't like, things are getting confused, things are displaced, things are out of joint, just know that that moment God is trying to refurbish and refashion you for the next level. Now, God is not the author of the trouble, but God is using the trouble to pass you through. Hello, are you hearing me, somebody here today? Does that make impact on you? God is not the one tempting you. God's not the one testing you. The devil is the one doing that. But God is going to use that in his infinite wisdom and glory to help you transit to the next level. Are we here, everybody? Moses, case in point, the moment he started dealing with Israel again, he had to leave the land, ran away to the bush, and for 40 years he was a shepherd. It transitioned. So, have you gotten that now? Now, let's begin to explore passages in the Bible about temptations and trials and tests. I wrote some of them down. Let's do it. Can you give me that diamond again? I want us to take temptations like this diamond with different facets, different faces. So, let's take about 7 of those passages in the Bible, or 5 or 6 of them. I've already given you some. Let's look at what does God say about time of temptations, trials, and tests. When you are going through hard times, harsh times, like Jesus was going through hunger, the devil said, why can you make bread? Huh? Forgotten in the wilderness. He said, I'll give you all the glory of this world. You don't have to do anything. It can be very tempting to be a woman and you don't have a husband. I bet you know. It can be very tempting to be a person that you have finished university longer years, and those who are under you, they've already gotten all their jobs. It can be very hard to not be able to do all that you need to do and run like everybody will run because of your health issues. But if you can let God help you to use those moments as transition, it can change your life for the better. Somebody say amen to that. I want to prove this more before I go further. I want to give you this verse. Let's take a Luke 22. Let's look at one first. Luke 22. Hallelujah. Are we here? Verse 31. And the Lord said, let's look at this one first. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. When? That's in God talking to Jesus, talking to Peter was not there. Remember, what we call him? The tempter? The tester? He said, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Look at next verse. And Jesus, he said, but I have prayed for you that it won't come in your life. No. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. That means your confidence, your learning and everything, when you go to that exam, you come out well and come out brilliantly. That's what will put you on the platform. Praise God, somebody. So Jesus started praying. This is Jesus' prayer. He said, Satan has desire. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this? This will change all things for you. Satan has particular interest in you. I don't even mean demons of Oluma. I mean, Satan himself has particular interest in you. You know why? You are the image of God. You are the biggest thing on this planet. You know, David said, oh God, our God, what has meant to be? Why are you so concerned about man? But, you know, he said, that your faith, and when you have returned to me out of the test, Jesus returned in the power of his spirit, after temptation, returned. Strengthen your brethren. So your next level for Peter is no longer trying to stabilize your own life. You're going to be a stabilizer for others. Amen, somebody. That shifting, Jesus prayed it, that it will come out in such a way that will make Peter stronger and better and become an answer for other people's problems. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do we get that? Do we get that? Okay, let's now start tracing this. Are we ready to go? Let's start looking at the verses I wrote down. We want to look at these things at different levels. Let's go to James 1. We'll start from verse 12. James 1, verse 12. So this will give us a picture of what we're dealing with. I'm trying to go through the Bible so you can see this thing. I don't want to say the devil, but let's look at it as a comprehensive whole. Blessed is blessed is the man who endures temptation. Blessed is the man who packages himself in troubles, who doesn't get forlorn and get torn out and get all smashed up. It's the person who stands the tests. When trials and temptations in the physical, in the financial, and emotional, and social, when they show up in our lives, and they'll show up indeed. He said, blessed, not cursed, is the man who endures, who withstands temptations, trials, and tests. For when he has been approved, when he's passed the test, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So that's what I'm talking about. That's a crown. That's a shift. That's a platform that will happen after you have faced that test. So always see that that's a crown, and you can actually fight for it. Amen, somebody. You know, sometimes you feel like one of my girls, when she was in university, she got tired. One day she says she's packing. She didn't tell us. She told us later. Said I'm leaving. You want to study law? And class can be very bad. Say particular year, is it 200, 300 level? 300 level. Said was it? Did just make it so difficult for you? I mean. Most places, they walk in and say, look here, I plan to fail all of you. Prove me wrong. What kind of class is that? So she said, she's going to park. Her friend said to her, sit down. You're not going anywhere. What will you tell your parents? You know, what do you think about your dad and your mom, the day of graduation, absentee? That will work. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. God is waiting to give us the crown. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. Let's read it in the Message Bible. Blessed is the man who endures temptations, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out as is mighty fortunate. Praise God, somebody. Sometimes I believe in changing, but I don't believe in running away from situation. Because if you run away from this exam now, Waek, you want to go to university? You still meet it at that corner over there. Have you ever been there before? Something you want to download on the internet, they say, submit your email. Then you go another way. You find you go, you're almost there. They say, submit your email again. Then you go another way. Finally, you know that. You have to submit. For such persons, loyally in love with God, the reward is what? Oh, that crown of life. God will crown you with more life. The reward is life and more life. Always see this. That is a virgin, beautiful Ireland beyond the desert. Praise God, somebody. Even if you go to the world, those who have done marvelously well, you notice that they have gone from these tests and trials. Even in the world, not even in Christianity now. People have done things mighty. They've gone through some hard, tough time to kind of stabilize themselves. So, first, just this one. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. Not the guy who dodges it. For such persons, loyally in love with God and with life, the reward is life and more life. That be your portion in Jesus' name. Let's listen. Amplified Bible. Blessed, happy, to be envied is the man who is patient under trial and stands up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and been approved and passed, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. That means you love God enough to get through it and make it a glorious attempt by you. Is that okay? Jesus' love for God helped him to go through all that time of testing from the devil. So I love God enough not to give up. Amen, somebody. So we have seen that. Now, how do you do that well? James is telling us now. James is full of this. James was a pastor. In fact, when he opened his book, he began with tests. I just read the one that is end there. Let's go to verse 2. Same James 1. Let's go to it. Let's read it. Okay. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into what? Various trials. What is the next? Knowing that the testing, the temptations of your faith produces patience. Next verse. But let patience, endurance. Now, please look up here. There are two words they use for patience in the Bible. There's one that has to do with people. It's called long suffering. But as one that's not long suffering has to do with resisting circumstances. The best picture of that word patience is like somebody who's running 1,500 meters or a marathon. You see, someone running a marathon, every inch of the way, he drives himself forward. He puts his eyes on the finishing line. He's pressing forward, not because he likes what's going on, but he must get to that goal at the end and get there gloriously. So he's pushing against the wind. It's when your muscle is tearing and your lungs are getting heated up and you don't drop the ball, you just keep going. See, people in life drop the ball. They withdraw. They become depressive. They become sad. They hand over their life to something else. They're no more living life. They're no more active in life. They have surrendered. They are sitting on the bench waiting for the game of life. They're like Bartimaeus beggar who was sitting down watching life move away. And you can't do that. You got life to live. You won't die now. We're having longer lifespan now, so you can pack early. We are looking as younger as ever. You see, you get older now. You won't get older anymore. Like where we are living now. So if you pack at 25, come on, 85, come on, 60. 60, just wondering. Come on, you can pack now. Some of us, when we retire, we're just starting life. Are you hearing me? But let patience, that endurance, have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, what? And complete, lacking nothing. So we have a goal now. We're going to be depressed. We are perfected, complete, matured, ready. Oh, I like this verse in Message Bible. Let's go to James 1, verse 2, Message Bible. Take a look. Consider it a shared gift, friends. When you have exam 1, exam 2, exam 3, exam 4, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It doesn't line up like that. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides, chemistry 102, chemistry 103, chemistry 101, chemistry 304, chemistry financial, emotional. Look at what he says next. I love this. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open. You're going to start displaying on the paper what you have been learning all along, start writing the exam all. How many of you have been there before? When you have read what is coming out, I say, where you just sit? You just balance. I say, how many more minutes? I don't know about you, when you go for an interview and they ask your question, how? Come on. But when they don't ask your question, you start fidgeting, you start feeling funny, and you have the answer. You have the answer to everything in life. It's in the promises of God. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, you don't know where the answer is until you are forced into the trouble. You start looking for it. And this is our exam. We are allowed to open the book. You know, sometimes they said in law school, they allow you to bring the books into the exam hall. Do you know why? Because it's not about cheating. It's about finding where it is. Just even look to find the answer itself. It's already a given victory. Your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. You know, I don't know about you. Are you hearing me, somebody? I don't know about you. Sometimes I become my best in some of these bad issues. Any of you have been there before? You start noticing that. I mean, you are coming out, you start coming down. Sometimes you think that, you know, that you're going to be finished and it has happened. And you still wake up second day and you're not dead yet. Come on. Look at next verse. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. You know, all this trying to escape financial issues by taking loan apps everywhere. Let me add more. Just like going abroad and find out UK is not the thing, you're going to Canada. So I listen abroad. One of my friends was telling me, said they've been pushing him. He's in UK. They said, come to Canada, come to Canada. He's in his 50s. I said, what's bad? You know, Australia, end of the world. You can't just be going like that forever. I know you want to go to UK, no problem. When you get there, you find out it's not like what you are thinking. So you go back again. You become K now, wandering all over the place. Before you know it now, you are 65, and you have one wife at Australia, another wife at Ukraine, another one at Brazil. How? Then one child look like a red, one look like yellow, one look like green. You know. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. How many of you want that? I want this. I want to be mature. I want to be well-developed. I don't want to be deficient. I mean, you are so balanced. And we need more people like that in life. I don't want Elon Musk that has money, has no life, marriage. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be somebody like Tiger Woods, who can be the best in golf and crashing his car out of drunken alcoholic problem. I don't want to be like that. I want my life balanced. I don't want to be dependent on others forever. You know, it's good to people to help you, but when the economy gets very bad, you're going to suffer. You know, I can't imagine myself growing old, depending on people forever. It won't work. I had to find my feet, praise God, somebody. I had to get my life going. I've seen people in old age who never learn how to develop their own 2 feet on the ground. And it's a sorry sight. Praise God. Like one guy said, it's easy to make money. Problem is how to keep it going for a long time to come. Hallelujah. Are we here? So that we are looking at this now. So you see, this side of the test, maturing, balanced, strong, turn to an exam you can pass. Praise God, somebody. Now, let's look at something more. 1 Corinthians 10. Can you pass this exam? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Let's take a look. There. They finished. Good. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Now, let's talk about the exam. You know, there are these issues going on in Western world now. In my days, when we are going to exam hall, we never know what will come out in the exam. We sit down, when they give us, we try to read, cover. Do you know, abroad now, it's interesting. When they bring the exam, and you look at it, you see, they're not in the right mental health. How people that, this is taking place now. How people that teaching abroad now. One of the sisters from here teaching. And then when they get to class, he said, I'm not ready this morning. I'm not fit. Mentally, I'm not. Why jegba? Oh, the fail? Oh, lolly? Huh? You are telling me you are not what? You're not ready for exam. You're ready for my ache. I want to. Huh? You know, all these unthinkable things happening. Unthinkable. Oh, Kawi. Oh, Ajilaro. Oh, people, you are not in mental. What they are. I've been speaking to you. honestly, I wish it was in my days. A lot of things will escape. I just I mean, the medical school craziness. One day, I remember, the first time we entered a class in medical school, they said, exam. And we thought it was a joke. They bring out the paper, and then they show you exam, and they said, everybody, we balanced up. We finished the exam. Then I said, we want to test you. It's called pre-test. We want to test you before you start the course. I said, keep the gulima. But I wish it was like that now. I just say, mental health. You know, if I say mental health, I'll still be medical school. I mean, can you imagine your children wake up in the morning? Mommy, I'm not in the right mood to go to school. Oh, no more. Oh, glory to Jesus. Are we here? So let's look about what do you do with this? How do when it comes and it comes at you, nobody writes that this test will come, that test will come. You can never predict what the teacher will set in the exam hall. If you can know the answer before that time, it's called Orijo. I saw in the news that particular exam being done by Nigerians for some abroad institutions, I found there was a leakage or something about that. They said all that set. They're ready out there. Come back and repeat it. But I know the trick. Just say mental health. Just say mental health. They will escape the exam. I'm just teaching them the trick if you are listening to me. But, you know, they won't take that from Africa. They did it in the UK or Nigeria. Let's go. Look at that verse. No temptation, no trials overtaking you except such as is common to man. Now, number one, as you're going through trials in life, you're going to go through trials, stages of life. Sometimes you're just married, just starting out in life, you don't have all that you need. Those moments, and things happen to you that almost tearing you apart. Please, it's not unique to you. Nothing is unique to you. Don't buy that idea. This is a special problem in my life. That's nothing special. Nothing is special. It's common to man. Look at that verse again. Let's look at the complete truth. But God is faithful. God reliable. And he will do two things for you. We will not allow you to be tested or tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, the test and the trial will also make the way of escape. And be able to what? Bear it. God is saying this. Whatever test, whatever trials, whatever temptation that will come your way, that will happen to you in life, spiritual, emotional, financial, marital, career, that will happen to you. God said, look, I'm faithful. I'm my child. I will not allow you to go through what you can never handle. So, Pastor, this one I can't handle it too. He had given you enough energy to handle it. So, to handle it. So, please, listen to this. Whatever you are going through, this temptation, trials, or tests, God has already planned. God has panebited it to your size. And after doing that, he has made the remedy available before you start. So whatever you are going to face, oh, young man, this will help you so much. Or young woman, don't look at the future and say, hey, whatever future you are going to, God is making it ready today. Are you hearing me? Whatever will come at you, God, if you just stay with God, walk with God, he will balance it out for you in life. Are you hearing me, somebody here? Are you hearing me, somebody here? When you have this, then you can wake up every day with confidence that my Father is ready, Jehovah God, who was and is to come. Because he's to come, he can handle what is to come. So that where I am right now, I can live it out. Do you make that kind of sense? Is that clear to us? So, see, that is enough to give you impetus to wake up to find the way of escape. Whatever you face, whatever rent, whatever life, whatever issue, financial, moral, anything, that's a way out. Don't ever see your life as a closed circuit, as an escape route somewhere. You are never trapped. Many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord. Let's look at this. Psalm 34, verse 19. Psalm 34, verse 19. Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions, the pressures, the struggles, disappointments of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That's a way of escape. I will pray myself and lead myself into that way of escape. Praise God, somebody. And I'll find, tell yourself, I will find a way of escape in life. Whatever issue can come up, whatever things that will show up in my life, God has made already a way of escape. Now somebody said, this way of escape is in what form? See that word escape. See that word escape. See that word escape. Can you see that word of escape? Go back there. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. 10, 13, 1 Corinthians. I told you, coming today will really bless you. I told you. See that word? I said, but with the temptation will also make the way of what? Escape. See that same word? 2 Peter 1, verse 4. That same word of escape. Come and see. What's that, practically speaking, what's that way of escape? By which have been given to us, what? Exceedingly great and precious promises. Now listen, that through these promises, you will be partakers of divine nature, having what? Okay, so the channels to escape it is God's promises. So, see, when you are going through harsh, rough, tempting, testing time, that's the time to clutch to your chest God's promises that are adequate for you in those moments that you cannot reason with your own head. You are not the one promising anyway. God's the one promising. And it's a reliable God. Praise God, somebody. And you hold on. For instance, he says, I'll be with you in trouble. I will deliver you. I will honor you. One of my friends years ago was in trouble. And I was just praying. I said, God gave me that verse. God said, I'll be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and I will honor you. I said, Lord, forget the honor. Just deliver him first. I don't need that. Just deliver him. You are drowning inside the water and you are thinking of flying in 747. Huh? You're drowning. Just give me out of the water first. Huh? We can ride bicycle there. We don't have to deal with 747. But God said, I got it bigger. You see, exceedingly great and precious promises. Christians have no way of escape except God's promises. Don't let anybody deceive you. Tinubu said, we are going through this. Am I right? But you owe that promise. You hold on to it. You make it your own. See, there's no way we can do this for you. Nobody can pray you out of that way of escape. You have to clutch to the promises of God. The only reason why Noah entered the ark was because God promised to keep him. Are you hearing me? What made the ark to float is not the water, it's God's promise. One word from Christ to Peter, come, made him to float on the water. One word, and we got a book full of it. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Over the years, in my 40-something years of being a Christian now, I've always, my wife is here. It's unreasonable. You hold on to the promise of God. You just hold on to that. You may be suffering financially. Things are not easy. I don't have to be excusing myself. I just say, Lord, you are going to help me here. You said you are going to help me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Same thing, you are in business in this moment. How can you cope in this kind of prices changing all the time? But the Lord will help me. Like he said, look at it. Psalm 107. Rabbi Tito was reading it on which day now? Saturday. Psalm 107. Let's go down there. Hallelujah. Promises of God, they are all over the book. Just start reading.
I saw a promise in the Bible. God helped Jacob. I think the promise is for Jacob.
It's for all of us. We are all sharers, partakers of divine nature. I would ask 107. Quickly, let's run. Look at this in the Bible. And God told us it will happen. Are we there? Look at verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in sheep, who do business in great waters, do something great with your life. They, what happened to them? Look at next verse. They see. What did they see? What did they see? Time for you to see the works of the Lord. Amen, somebody. And his wonders were in the deep, in the real trouble. Next verse. What did he say? Next verse. Take a look. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind. When it go up like that, when lift up the waves of the sea. If you've ever been on the sea before, which I never did, and I'm not afraid to be there. I like flying. That's even more dangerous. Next verse. What do you say? And they mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depth. Their soul met because of trouble. Just up and down, struggle, bam, bam. Look at what's happening. Next verse. But what? They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. You don't know what to do next. What will you do with this? Pastor Peace, you're welcome. You know, how will I cope with that? What will happen to that? Da, 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 da. They are their wit's end. When your mind comes to an end, look at next verse. I love this. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. If they cry out, I can cry out. Same Lord is rich unto all and those who call upon him. Is that all right? Look here, I have lived like this all my life. I'm a hopeless man without God's promises. I'm a hopeless man. I have to admit that. I'm a hopeless man without God's promises. Because my mind knows all the in and out of clever promise. Clever of what? You go and get somebody who motivates you. Don't worry. Behind every cloud has a silver lining. Okay, show me the silver. Can I smell the silver? That's the thing. Hallelujah. Tough time never lasts. Thank you. It's lasting for longer. It's lasting more like a lifetime now. As we are coming out of one, enter another one. But God said he will take care of us in trouble. Amen. Amen. Oh, I love this psalm. Psalm 121. Let's look at the Message Bible. Psalm 121. Wow. Verse 1. Quickly. The promises of God. Oh, take a look. The previous song. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? Hallelujah. I look definitely at the mountain. Look at next verse. No! My strength comes from God who made heaven and earth and mountains that are even towering at me. I like another one I read recently. Psalm 10. Let's look at it. I love that too. Verse 1. Message Bible. Take a look. God. Okay, verse 9. Sorry. Chapter 9, verse 1. Hope I'm correct. Is this the one? It's talking about. Let me check it for you so I can just read it in the Bible. It's around verse 3 or that. Let me get it so I can show you. Just a minute. Psalm 11 or 10 or 9. Let's read it. Just a minute. Okay. Yeah. Let's look at verse 2. 11 verse 2. 11 verse 2, quickly. Give us a Message Bible. Okay, next verse. The bottom is dropped out of the country. Huh? Did you see that on your screen? I said, this sounds like Nigeria. The bottoms dropped out of the country. Good people don't have a chance. Come on, Lolly. Next verse. But God hasn't moved to the mountains. His holy address hasn't changed. He's in charge as always. His eyes taking everything in. His eyelids unblinking. Examining Adam's unruly brood. Standing out, not missing anything. He's still in charge. He's still in charge. Praise God. Praise God. Are we blessed today? Let's look at another one quickly that I wrote down about trials. We're talking about trials and tests in life. And how do we handle them? And we're looking at different facets as we start rounding up. See, I want to give you a comprehensive look at temptations, trials, and tests in life so that we're not, like we said, first of all, what do we say first of all about this matter? That these things are light, momentary, and they work for us. Remember that? And we say every temptation and trial time, they are time of transition. Remember that? Time of promotion, of change, of shift. We said that. And we said in the book of James that when you pass this test, you are given more life and more life. Am I correct? And we said that we should not try to dodge the exam. If you do, we will not be fully competent and ready for the future that God has for us. Let's go to the next one, James chapter 5, verse 10. I'm going to read this verse, then we'll come back later to it very well, which will bless us. My brethren, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of what? Look at the screen. As an example of what? Suffering and endurance. All those prophets in the Bible. Abraham, prophet, call him. 25 years of standing against infertility. Look at this verse. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Now, look at that verse again. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. You see, every trial of a human being, particularly redeemed, believing child of God, that's an intention, that's an end that God has for you. And it's not for you to be swallowed up. It's for you to live in victory in it. Are you hearing me? No parents pay money for you to go to school to fail. They will get you all the books so they can pass the exam. Am I right? Am I making some sense today? And he said that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Hallelujah. Now, I'm coming back to Job. We're going to close around with him. Let's move to chapter 8, Deuteronomy. And then see something. Remember Jesus was in the wilderness? Remember? Remember Jesus was in the wilderness? Let's go down there. Matthew 4, verse 1. Before we go to chapter 8, Deuteronomy. Matthew 4, verse 1. That's our Esewura, golden verse. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. We are looking at Jesus in action, at work. And we said, after he was baptized, the next place he went to was the wilderness. He went to the river first, got baptized, heaven opened, Holy Ghost came on him, the Father spoke from heaven. And the next thing he did was to face the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. And we are saying, why should God allow Christ to be tempted and tested? Since he was pure, he was powerful, he was great. And he had to go through because he was a human, so he can be a sympathizing high priest for all of us. Or else it will not be. Hallelujah. In fact, let me prove that more about that. Is that on my note here? I think I left it out. But let me work on it for a few minutes. About Jesus being tested and tried, sympathizer with us. Let's look at Hebrews 5, verse 8. Hebrews 5, verse 8. Please don't leave yet. I have some refreshment for us for coming today. I didn't announce it. So relax. Just a small refreshment, not food. Tested and tried. Praise God. Though it was, so if you leave now, you miss it. So I'll finish by 9:30. So you stay for the refreshment. Relax. I'm only pulling your leg and your arms. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He's a son. He was perfect. Look at next verse. And having been perfected, not as God, but as a human, he became the author. Many people are writing books. They are not perfected in it. Are you hearing me? Like one guy wrote a book. 88 reasons why Jesus must come in 1988. It came out years ago, 1988. Everybody was buying it. 1988 came. Christ didn't come. The guy was a smart aleck. After he didn't come, second year, I said, he now wrote another book. 88 reasons why Jesus didn't come in 1988. He was a thief. He unlocked him up forever, threw away the key. Bad author. Christ is a good author. He was perfected. Let's read the Message Bible. Give us verse 8 in Message Bible. Let's take a look. Jesus, though he was God's son, he learned trust and obedience by what he suffered, just as we do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's quite amazing for me. For me personally, when it comes to pain and suffering, what impressed me most was not that God can remove the pain, but that God was involved in the pain. That the greatest picture of Christianity is not a God Superman. It's a person hanging on the cross in pain and bloody suffering. For me, that makes all the difference. That means I'm there with you. I'm your spirit fire from the top of the mountain. So, though he was God's son, he learned trusting obedience, all he suffered just with. Next verse. Then, having arrived at full stature of his maturity, and having been announced by God as high priest, hallelujah, in the order of Melchizedek. So, that's Jesus. Let's move to the next one I have over here on my stuff. I wrote this one down. About another thing, chapter 8, Deuteronomy. Let's start rounding up. So, we spend too long. Let's look at from verse 1. We're looking at test, temptation, and trials in our life. We're looking at comprehensive learning about not just only one side or that side. Let's go. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess. God wants you to live and multiply and go in and possess. Look at next verse. I love this. It's getting serious now. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all this way, these 40 years. Where? Now, Jesus took actually 1 year for 1 day, 40 days. By the way, actually, God's plan was for them to go for 40 days to reach where they are going. But it spent 40 years. So he said, these 40 years to humble you and to what? And to test you. Oh, we are now understanding what's happening in trial. To know what was in your heart, whether you will keep his commandment or not. So there's much more going on when you are going through trials. Prepare your heart. Get yourself together. When things are confusing, when things don't go the way you think, what should you do? That's not the way to start manifesting what you are not. Craziness and disobedience and madness. That's not who you are. Next verse. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna. You don't know anything about your father. That he might make you know that man shall not live by. Wow. That's what Jesus quoted. When Jesus was hungry in the wilderness and he was struggling, he was in pain of stomach, too much acid. The devil was saying, if you are the Son of God, he said, my father is disciplining me, he's training me here. I'm not just here because I want to get food. Life is not only economy. We are not called homo economicus, we are called homo sapiens. Sapiens means wisdom. So we need more training in wisdom than in what? In economy. He said, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Look at next verse. I love this. What is the next? Your garment did not wear out on you. Nor did you, the food swell these 40 years. Next verse, quickly. My time is running. You should know. That pastor, why are you at the back there? I think I can finally see you. You should know in your heart, deep down in you, that as a man trains and disciplines his son, so the Lord is chastening and disciplining you. So every time you are going through some hard times and hard issues and things are not going that way, it's time to shine like your dad. Praise God, somebody. Amen. Not to go and give up, start reading some ridiculous books about God. I say, I'm decaffeinating from God. I'm deconstructing. That's what they used to do. He said, deconstruct. Guy came. He's a Christian singer. He said, I want to announce to everybody that I'm no longer a Christian singer. I'm no longer even a Christian. Most of I don't even believe in God anymore. You must be joking. Praise God. The Lord, your God, disciplines and trains you. I look back at my life. My best time in life came after some period of struggles. While you land there, every time you see Messi playing and scoring well, there have been training time when nobody was there. Am I correct? So that's other scriptures. Let's look at this one is almost the last one. We have two more to go. We are finishing now. 1 Peter 1. Let's look at, we are looking at test from every angle as a diamond. Test, temptation, and trial. When you are going through things, devil is putting pressure upon you. Also, life is putting pressure upon you. People too are putting pressure upon you. And please, let me warn you. Can I warn you? Don't ever think the test ended in the wilderness. The test was going on in Jesus' life. Pharisees in his meeting, criticizing him, planning to kill him. If he didn't win the wilderness, he can't win the public. Don't let anybody deceive you. Great things in life are not gotten cheap way. That's why the Yahoo boys find it difficult to keep the money, because it was not gotten in the right disciplined way. Hallelujah. Let's go. Chapter 1, 1 Peter, verse 6. Let's read some of these verses. It will help you. This will help you very well. Look at this verse about trials and tests. In this salvation, you are born again, you rejoice in church. Though now, for a little while, if need be. So let me drop this. You have been grieved by various trials. When you go through trial, there's a need for it. It's not because you want it, but there's a need for it. Something must shift. Something must change. Something, for instance, you just don't have an exam for nothing. When they set up exam, they have a purpose in mind. Am I right? That something will come after that exam. Am I correct? Okay, so he said, in this, you are rejoicing in salvation. God is blessing you. But though now, for a little while, remember, light affliction, moment, if need be. So when you are squirming that thing and making us, remember that there must be a need for this thing. Although I don't like it. Anybody like exam? But there's a need for it. That's why we get our first-class students. There's no other way to get first-class students. You can't find it when you're listening to the class. It's when you are writing what you are learning out in test of exam. You have been grieved by what? Various trials. Look at next verse. Look at next verse. It says that the genuineness of your faith, like in exam, the genuineness of your brain and learning, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, will be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus. So when you are going through things, it's time to grab your faith and make it genuine. Praise God. One of the things I do in my trial is this. When I'm going through trial, I get hold of my Bible and I begin to test my thinking, my feeling, my attitude. I begin to say into the Word of God. I begin to turn into the fire of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. And I begin to say, God said this. Like now, I'm going through a financial struggle. I hope Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply. I force that into my mind. I agree with that and I push that through and I don't give up on it. I do my assignment. Because something helps exam more than anything else. It's preparation. And they give you adequate time. When you're going through things, your faith is being tested for its genuineness. And faith comes by hearing. So, usually, I do this. Every time, when things get really rough, that's when I double up my Bible searching. I balance there, look at it. Because how can I reach God outside this world? And you know what? If your faith is proved genuinely, praise and honor and glory will come out of it. Amen, somebody. Next verse. For whom Christ, having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, rejoice with joy and full of glory. Life will be glorious for you in Jesus' name. But in time of trials, you are grieved, you are feeling down, various trials. And that's okay. You don't feel all right. But don't let your feeling drive out your faith. Did you hear that? Let your faith be established in your feelings and see God's glory manifest in your life. Now, I want to close with the biggest one. I'm closing now. Why is the devil? You see, God wants you to pass this exam. Can I close like this? I saw this thing I'm going to say now on Friday last week when we were finishing 1 hour praise. What is devil's intention in all these tests and trials? Please listen. You are not the end game. It's not really about you. Why is the devil making life miserable for you spiritually, emotionally, financially, maritally, something like that? Why? What is he after? The devil is after one thing. Job 1. Somebody help us put your phone in silence. Somebody distracting us. Job chapter 1. This is the reason why for Christians, for people, is trying to make this happen in our life. Job chapter 1. Are we there? Okay, you're not opening. Let me open here. If you notice in verse 1, the Bible talks about Job. I was a man in the land, Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That one was blameless or perfect and upright. One who feared God and shunned evil. Now look at his pedigree. Look at his CV. Next verse. Look at his CV. 7 sons are born to him. Next verse. And also his possessions were 7,000 sheep. Those days, those beginning of the world. 3,000 camels. It's like saying you're having 3,000 trucks carrying granite. 500 yoke of oxen. 500 female donkeys. And very large household. So that this man was the greatest. It was Elon Musk of his time. So he's not a small boy. Say, Pastor, I'm Job. You're not Job. Who knows in Abeokuta? Verse 6. Now, this is the thing I'm going to. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came before the Lord. Satan also came among them. Why is the devil doing all this to you? Why is he making life miserable for all of us? Next verse. And the Lord said to Satan, from where are you coming? Satan answered the Lord, from going to and from the earth, from walking back and forth. Sound like Johnny Walker. You know if you have Johnny Walker? Walking since 1875. Walking since the fall of man. Next verse. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered, take a look. Have you considered, remember we read where Christ said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you. Remember that we read that verse? Have you considered my servant Job that there's no like him on the earth, a blameless or perfect, King James said that, an upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Look at next verse. This is the purpose of the devil's temptation in your life. Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? God, you don't really matter in Job's life. It's the economy that matters in Job's life. That's why it's following you. Let's keep reading. And God said, have you not made a hedge? Telling God now. God has made a hedge around him. And around his household. And around all that he has. That's God. God wants all that you have protected. God's not a thief. You have blessed the work of his hands. So all those things that Job had was from God. Praise God. And his possessions have increased in the land. He's the God of increase. Look at next verse. This is where I'm going. Now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. You see, the devil has one reason for tempting you to stop your praise. That you will no longer celebrate God. That you will point accusing finger at God and tell him how far you have gone. See, you are a bad God. So, the purpose, remember, the last temptation of the devil to Jesus was, worship me. Remember, worship me. That means when you point your finger at God and tell God you are a liar, you are not true, look at my life, you have stopped this from happening, I don't have this miracle, I've been praying all this while. That devil, that moment, he starts celebrating. That you have passed his unfaithfulness exam. And he will surely curse you to your face. I wish you could read the original Hebrew. You know, in the original Hebrew, he didn't say that. He says, stretch out your hand and he will surely bless you where we're. That's what he said in the original. Check it out. It's like he's laughing at God. I bless you, da, da. So what will God do? Next verse. The Lord said to Satan, God won't touch him. God doesn't have any hand of cursing. He has only hands of blessing. He said, all that he has is in your power. Don't lay hand on this person. So Satan went up, praise the Lord, began to put pressure upon him. For what purpose? To break his praise down. To break his worship down. And then the devil came, did all that. And the Bible said, Job fell down and worshiped God. Remember that? Then they met again, second time, God and the devil. Chapter 2. And he said, let's go and read it. I don't want to quote it. Job chapter 2. Are you still with me? We're landing up now. Praise God. Chapter 2. And the Lord said to Satan, from where are you coming? He answered, from going to and fro. Verse 3. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job that there's no like him on the earth, blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? And still, he holds fast to his integrity of praising and worshiping me, although you incited me against him to destroy him without a cause. Sometimes you face things without a cause. You didn't do anything wrong. Let's keep reading. Next verse. Then I answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has will give for his life. Next verse. Just stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. Our priest said, go. To be sick with it. God said, go. The bad news, Job failed. That's why we have about 40 chapters of Job. When Job started going through all that thing, his friends came, they made it worse. The friends came, three of them, and their mouth was shut, thank God, for 7 days. When they couldn't bear it anymore, Job! And you know, sometimes, even if you want to behave well, when people come around you, they help you misbehave. Honestly. Can you tell them about you? You have to find a way of just joining with them. Like one woman. You know, her husband was dead. They come, they say, praise the Lord, God will help us. We're going to go through. And then friends will come. When they hit the compound, clamor, say, about joining to the Lord. So just break down, start weeping. After a while, pastor said, we have to get, if you don't get out of this place, you become a mess for Arrow. Let's go. So he began to curse the day he was born. He began to attack God. And somebody said, pastor, can that happen today? Chapter 12, the book of Revelation. Let's close. 12, the book of Revelation. You will hear almost the same thing, but you hear the remedy there. What do we do today? The devil will come and say, I want to test his praise. Let's do this to him so that I can stop his worship. Praise God. Are we there? 12, are we there? See, moment you lose your praise, you will misbehave even with people. You know, just imagine, sometimes when you praise God and magnify God, you endure more, am I right? Always start, take it on God, take it on people. Start messing up. You know, sometimes when I'm really up spiritually, my wife puts something not good for me, I endure it, even when it's not endurable. Like now, salt is not enough in the soup. I'll eat it by faith, as salted. But even when there's salt there, when I'm misbehaving, the salt is not salty enough. 12, are we there? Let's read it over there. Verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying, heaven, in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, power of his Christ, have come. For the accuser, see that word again, of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. One day, he'll be cast out of that heavenly realm where he's living. He said, they accuse them before our God. And what's accusation? They will not praise you. It's coming to church because you are blessing him. It's coming to church because it's not about you being sick. It's about you giving up on God. That's what it's after. Look at next verse. And I love this. And this time around, there was no contest. In Job, there was a contest. God said, Job, prove yourself. Now, you don't have to prove yourself because somebody has gone for you. His name is Jesus. In Job chapter 9, Job said, I wish I have an advocate who can plead my cause, and somebody's pleading your cause in heaven. His name is Jesus. Praise God, somebody. And you can now overcome the devil by the blood of that your advocate. Praise God, somebody. So now, when God wants you to say, okay, let's test and see. Christ has been tested. He's passed the exam and he's given his righteousness. Now God is telling you, get up now and face him. Praise God, somebody. And he didn't say, and God helped them. He said, and they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So when he come with his tests and trials and trying to finish it, look at devil, I'm going to praise God and make you mad here. Praise God, somebody. I'm going to dress up. I'm going to look good. I'm going to act against everything you want me to do about this. I failed that exam. I'm going to go at it again. Praise God. I'm going to glorify God in the land of the living. Oh, that happened to me. I lost that pregnancy. Okay. Let's go get Belen again. Praise God. About years ago, one brother, his wife, they were really believing God and lost that pregnancy. I felt so bad. I felt so terrible. So I was in the room. My younger days as a pastor, I didn't know better. I was just tired. I'm not seeing life yet. You know? So when I was thinking, oh God. So they said they were here to see me. I didn't want to come out. I was in the room. I didn't want to come out. You know? You're laughing at me. Because I can't keep myself home. It just dawned on me that I should tell them about David. When his child died, Bathsheba, he said, he comforted his wife and said, we'll have a son. And I just got up with my Bible and I said, you know what? God's going to give us, we're going to have double. And the next time he got pregnant, he got twins. Praise God. You got that? Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So don't let out your praise go away from you. Just in the middle of the night, lift your hand and say, Lord, I don't understand how this will work out. Everything is working against me, but your praise is coming through my lips. Let's praise him right now as we close. Come to you, Lord. Thank you, because your praise will never leave my lips. I will praise and magnify you and exalt you, and I will overflow this in the name of Jesus. I will go beyond this. Thank you, Father God. I give my thanks to you. Devil will never have my praise. I will never praise bad luck, ill luck. I will not speak against God's promises and God's plan for my life. I rejoice in the midst of all the negativity, and I give God the glory in my life. Because the test is going toward transition. Praise God. I will transit, and I'm transiting. I'm getting better. Whatever loss, whatever problem, whatever challenge, I'm turning this around for myself, because it's a time to receive the crown of life. Remember James 1:12, we read, he said, blessed is he who endures temptation. When he stands approved by God, he will receive the crown of life. He will receive the crown of life. Thank you, Father God. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Oh, hallelujah. We are your people. Test and trials coming our way. We are not afraid. Our Father is sufficient, and Christ's blood is sufficient, and the name of the Lord is our strong tower. Thank you, Father God. We are people of glory, not of shame. Thank you, Father. We know you keep us, and you watch over us, and you take us through. Yes, we go through this wilderness, but we know that in our heart that you are disciplining and training and making us ready for whatever is coming next in our lives. And we're not giving up, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God, somebody. I said, praise God, somebody. As we give our offering, how do I summarize all this? James 1, verse 12. We quoted that one in Message Bible. Let's read it again as we give our offering. Thank you for coming. Some pastors around with us. Pastor Wally, Pastor Peace, Pastor Joy. Thank you for coming around. Can we just pray now? Let's read this verse before we pray. And then we give our offering and then give our refreshment. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons, loyally in love with God, the reward is what? Life. And more. Tell yourself, more life. For today, I'm Muslim. More life. 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 Spirit, soul, and body. Home, life, every career. More life. More life. Praise God. Hallelujah. So as you are getting tested, if you are going to try us over here, it's a time of transition to promotion. Praise God. Just hold on. Just keep on learning. And take God's promises as your route of escape. Hallelujah. Those days, my wife, those days, all we had was promises of God. We just held on and held on. And even now, we're still doing that, promises of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Let's pray about our refreshments. I hope it's been enough there. All right. Father, we thank you for this moment as we give our offering. Share this little refreshment. We give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Actually, my wife was saying, wow, we have 3 days of eating. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. They ate yesterday. I said they should not eat. They still ate my mind yesterday. The woman racked it into the budget. No problem. We forgive you. Hallelujah. And today, at church, they use all their offering to eat food. This one, I'm the one paying for it, so relax. I just want to, I told my wife, I said, you know, my wife just knows that I do things like that. I just said, this morning, I just said, let's do something, surprise. If I put over there, please tonight, refreshment. Nigerians. So I just said, those who come tonight, they will have refreshment. Can we serve it? It's just some donut or pop up or something, plus some drinks, just to give you for coming. Thank you very much for being around. All right. There they can serve. Okay. Are you ready? Okay. Beautiful. So let's give everybody. If you want water or you want drinks, minerals, they'll give you whichever you want. All right. Thank you. Let's give our offering.